Crawford combines technical analysis with planetary alignments. He's been at the helm of Crawford Perspectives. How's the weather today in that part of Arizona?
Well, it was a little cooler with a high yesterday of about 75. So it's been running 80, but it's been running well above normal.
We would be tickled to have that weather here. I mean, we haven't seen volatility like this. What do you see?
The volatility has been unusually low for 2 to 3 years. I don't think that's normal. And I think we need a little volatility for a while in order to balance things out. I'm leaning towards having more of it in the near future.
So can you give us some specifics on what the charts and what the constellations are telling you?
One of the things happening right now is that we're getting fairly oversold on the short-term basis. So a bounce could occur any time. However, we're starting back lower again in the new highs minus new lows, and we're starting from a very low level, which means that we may be headed for a capitulation phase in the next few days. It's odd that we would be dropping into a three-day holiday. Normally it rises into the to three-day holidays. That's the normal pattern, but it does. So anyway, maybe we will have a capitulation after we come back from Easter and Passover.
That's a good point. U.S. national holidays, religious or otherwise, tends to give the bulls a boost. In fact, I would wager that if you were to just invest time those periods, maybe, let's say 10 times out of the year, you'd probably beat the market almost every year.
That's probable. Actually, the original student on it was, the writing on it was done in late 60s or early 70s. The behavior of prices in Wall Street. And that was author, what's his last name? I don't have it in front of me, so I don't. He was a good friend, although much older. I met him in the Cycles group in New York. He did a lot of the original studies that are carried out now by who is the one that's doing a lot of the statistical reporting on it every time somebody asks some major thing, and they'll give the statistics on it.
Oh, there's so many, aren't there now, Arch?
Whose son is running it now, and they publish all the data. I miss Joe Granville, Richard Russell, and more recently, Ian McAvity. And it doesn't have to stop here. It could rally tomorrow, last day before the three-day weekend, or it could drop more, but if I had to bet or better, I think it's 50 on the plus side for tomorrow. But I don't think it'll last, and we're remaining short since January the 15th, but without using margin.
My gut instinct here, Arch, would be to really consider tapering some of those shorts, covering at this point. I'm, of course, not telling anyone what to do, not financial advice. We were talking yesterday, of course, about the USA Today, one of my fear to greed indicators, and it was one of the lowest levels last Friday. When I talked to you, it was even lower, and from a contrarian perspective, folks are so frightened. The smart money is getting greedy, judging by just that one index alone, and it does have several key metrics you might be familiar with, you know, the put to call. You know, bull markets rarely give up that easily. From my perspective, sure, we may have seen the peak, although I don't believe that yet. And the smart money, I shouldn't say the smart money, but the real wealth is still bullish. And I think that until that changes, I believe that the markets will roll over, as we saw in 2006 through 2008.
The planetary stuff, April, looks like we could be in serious wartime status.
That thought has crossed my mind, particularly with the events that occurred, geopolitical events over the weekend. You may have seen that the fearless North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, evidently, although it's not official, may have made a super train ride, if you will, all the way to China. and say, these sanctions are really starting to hurt. My people are getting upset. I'm probably going to have riots. Something is fishy. China is, as you know, incredibly upset with the administration. $50 to $60 billion in U.S. tariff. That could, as everyone knows by now, lead to an international trade war. Very few people are going to benefit from that, and we're looking at $5 or $6 billion in retaliatory trade barriers from China, of course, following our announcement. Folks, keen to hear your thoughts on the precious metals sector. Yeah, beautiful breakout in gold last week. Is that just a one and done?
It never broke and it never closed above the break. So I'm still waiting to be long on it. I would keep a long-term position at all times, or have some options or something, just in case.
You have to admit it's a lovely chart pattern, both of which had sympathy plays along with gold. What we may have seen last week at least paralleled somewhat the remarkable advance we've had in the crude oil market, particularly on news of the yuan, gold and yuan oil-backed trading now in Shanghai. Crude oil seems to be holding up the commodity CRB index almost independently.
It has the whole range of oil and energy products, of course. But the only other thing that I would mention right now is the rates on the 10-year are breaking down today. And that suggests that they're not going to have as many raises this year as they're talking about.
You are right. The Fed Funds Futures rate over at the St. Louis Fed, I like to keep, despite the fact everybody talks them down, they're fantastic statisticians. They've got some great numbers. The May meeting, there's virtually zero chance of a rate hike, a 2.1% chance. But currently, though, we've got almost 80% odds of a June hike. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see one more hike to 2.25, 225 basis points in December. Probably not November, but December. But
looks fairly serious. In other words, it has to negate the breakdown in order to raise the rates again.
Well, it's a great segue into another hypothesis I have. There is a fellow by the name of Wolf Richter who is gaining a lot of momentum in the underground economics field. He's out in California. Brought a couple of statistics to my attention that I've been watching closely. Defaults on U.S. single-family homes turning the corner for the first time since the last Great Recession.
It's swinging a little bit.
That number combined with the Case-Shiller. And then my very favorite, of course, is new home starts, probably the best leading indicator of all three. If you look at the Case-Shiller, and you may have had a chance to see this, the median home price in the United States has actually eclipsed the former bubble peak of 2006. Well, the echo bubble now is even more intense. Nothing, of course, compared to Canada, where we've seen virtually, Jim Sinclair refers to, a ram's horn style ascent in prices. Although we don't have the debt, the subprime and alt-A debt levels that we saw circa 2007, 2008, I do think we would be much more vulnerable to these rate hikes now. Any thoughts?
Well, I agree.
Anything else in the markets you're watching?
I think that's the main thing that I have, that the dollar index broke down a while ago below a huge neckline, but it hasn't been able to put on a leg down yet. But it neither has it been able to break back above that neckline, which it has to get up to 90 on the dollar index that's traded before it will negate some pretty heavy negatives. But they may try to take it up a little bit here in order to take some stops out before they go down more. But
I've noticed a trend in the USD. That's, of course, the U.S. dollar index in particular. They may be the most manipulated of any market. Everyone talks about gold and U.S. shares. I notice that they tend to be manipulated. You're not convinced they're going to take rates too much higher because they have already scared the bull a little bit on Wall Street, and who knows the reverberations through the global financial arena if rates were to go too much higher, because we all know by now with this inordinate debt, none of which was really cleared out following 2009. They didn't allow the forest to be cleared, did they? The underbrush, it's still there just looking for a rogue match. There's really very little. In fact, you might say there's more refuse now than there was in debris than before. to the Fed's balance sheet is frightening. You know, everybody's talked about how they're curtailing it, but in my opinion, it's just a tiny little blip on a logarithmic chart.
But it hasn't showed up clearly in the statistics yet. In other words, like you say, it's been minutiae.
And it's ironic because we now have Mnuchin in the Treasury Department. Mnuchin and his minutiae. All right, Arch Crawford, we're going to leave you on that witty note. And as we wrap up, why don't you tell people more about Crawford Perspectives? You know, you have at least over four decades at Crawford Perspectives.
41 years in the 24th of May.
Tell people about the services you provide, please.
I have a newsletter that's been on the market for 40 years now. It's the same price it was in 1977, which is $250 a year. It's four pages a month. It's fairly concise. It has charts and easy explanations, but it is based on technical market analysis largely, and with planetary cycles thrown in as the gravy.
We appreciate that special Crawford Perspective sauce. Talk soon, Arch.
Oh, sure. Delighted to be here.